From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Here now, a story about the value of unexpected visitors. It's from commentator Marika Partridge. Marika tells us that her life was crowded with the responsibilities that come with being a wife, a mother, and a caregiver to her aging father. And then she received an email.
The message seemed like exactly what I didn't need. With my three kids and my 90-year-old dad, my days consisted of one errand after another. Take the kids to gymnastics, get them home, collect my phone messages, check my email, take dad to the doctor, get the groceries, do carpool. Each day was a variation on this theme. My head was spinning. Where was the pleasure in life? And now this email. It was a plea, asking me if I would be willing to play host to some performers from Kenya. 9 of them, men and women from the Maasai tribe. They were coming to sing, dance, and teach about their culture. A normal person would have laughed out loud or screeched in horror, but deep inside me was another signal, a confusing one, coming from my childhood, from a time and place that erased the jumble of my current life. It came from Africa, from the very same Maasai culture. I'd been around the Maasai before. In 1968, my family camped in Maasai country in southern Kenya. During the month we camped among them, the Maasai stopped by every day. They wore robes of ochre red. Around their necks, layers of beads jingled as they moved. They'd watch us, we'd watch them, they'd preen in the rearview mirror of our Land Rover, and they'd sing into our tape recorder.
This has been a very pleasant camp, although these are quite interesting people, they're quite independent, by far the most interesting people that we've seen in Africa so far.
My memories of that long-ago time cut through the current clutter of my life like a beckoning light. Quite happy people, my father had observed. I recalled the afternoon that my mother produced a couple of rare ice cubes from our cooler. The Maasai tossed the frozen chunks from hand to hand and then began slipping them down each other's backs, laughing the whole time. I wanted to witness and partake in that joy again. I wanted the Maasai visitors in my home. At first, my family couldn't understand. My husband and kids had heard me promise to make our lives simpler. Now, as I argued to have these house guests, they questioned my sanity. But I persisted, and they humored me. The Maasai arrived, wearing mud-red robes and layers of beads. They hugged us like we were old friends. Then they started singing. The leader was a tall, soft-spoken man named Soranka. He takes the others on international tours, raising awareness and scholarship money for Maasai girls. I gave them food and shelter, and at the same time, they gave me a lesson. It started with priorities.
Above everything else, you'll tell me, a greeting is the most important. If you do not greet me, then you have already started on a bad note. You didn't connect with me with finding out how am I, and I should know how you are before we go into any conversation. And if you see me first thing in the morning, it's a blessing to be alive. Greet me, because maybe you'd not have seen me again.
This made me think, do I connect with the people I meet every day? Most of the time, other people seem like stumbling blocks, preventing me from getting to my next appointment. If I slowed things down and connected in this Maasai way, maybe I could rediscover how to experience humanity as more than a series of interruptions. Other people, Soranka reminded me, are important. Interactions themselves are something of substance.
When you speak the language, then you know etiquette, how to speak, whom to speak to, how to relate to one another. Our way of life is really very strong on adhering to the word of mouth. When we speak to one another, we say we feed each other. we nourish each other spiritually. And so singing is just another avenue of communication. We tell about our past, we tell about our present, and our hopes for the future through music.
My house guests gave me simple clues to living simply and with pleasure.
At the end of the day, we say, what good thing did I do today? What new friend did I make today? Because that is wealth. Wealth is not the material things. Wealth is what you are able to give of yourself.
I still live in a Maryland suburb, not on the plains of Kenya. I have ice cubes and a freezer to hold them, but I have more than that. I have people around me, other souls with inner lives. The visit from the Maasai provided me with a map to living, a trail through my busy life that is allowing me to see beyond the momentary errand to the richer meaning of conversation and caring. So in exchange for a couple of weeks of a very crowded calendar, I got a long-term gift. My interaction with the Maasai then and now has not been just an exotic adventure. They showed me a way of experiencing the world. And it's mine to keep.
Marika Partridge is a former director of All Things Considered, and she lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland. To see pictures of her Maasai visitors and of her 1968 trip to Kenya, visit our website, npr.org.